Ladies and gentlemen, we bring to you another Stakeholder Spotlight episode. The great and famous Scotty Blander, Scotty B, repping blue shirts, repping Big Blue, Mets fan. Scott, it is an honor. Like I was telling you about these series, we haven't done one of these in 2 years. I can't believe time flies, bro. How's everything, man?
Yeah, things are good. Living the dream, you know. All things considered, no. I mean, the honor's all mine. I was thrilled when you brought this to my attention about a month ago, and I'm even more so thrilled that I'm the one you went to me to break the 2 year hiatus. So I'm very excited for this. I'm thrilled.
We got to be transparent with the audience. We got to let the audience know. I've been trying to get you to come on to the Bleed Blue show for at least a couple of years just to chime in on some of our episodes, like, you know, with the Rangers, the Big Blue. You know, I am honored that you have found the time this past hockey season to come on some of the post games, in between games on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl. Shout out to RP, Ranger Prowl. How do you like coming on talking hockey with the blue shirts, the NHL in particular? We're going to get into all your fan stories. Trust me, we have a lot of time just to dissect all that.
No, I love your show, and you know, I was on a few times this year, and I do apologize for not being able to make it more. But like I said earlier, it's not even that I have to go to bed. I mean, I work from home. I've worked from home before COVID. I've always have in this particular job. So I start at 8. No, I don't have to go to bed early. I'm just getting old, and you know, I just pass out around 9:30. So I apologize for not being on as much as I would have liked to have, because I love that show. I love the format, the roundtable format. You know, the first time I called, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, you know, it was just like calling the fan. You know, you get your question and then you're done. But I love the roundtable format, just going around, everybody just, you know, it feels like we're all in the same room. It's a great atmosphere. I like the show a lot. Hopefully I'd like to be on it a lot more next year.
Yeah, it's kind of you already know, the way we try to present all of our episodes is an equal say platform, meaning myself or Chris, who lead these shows, we're not the stars. We're not trying to be stars. We're putting our fan caps and bringing along like-minded fan caps to the table. So it's kind of like sports bar talk. Like if you're at a sports bar, you know, a bunch of buddies, guys and gals, over beers, drinks, food, snacks, just talking about what they see from the game. And we try to bring what we see and put it on audio or video. And we are, I believe, you know, our platform, the collection of fans throughout the fan bases that we root for, as far as going to the games and talking about the games, just we are the core of what a sports fan, in particular New York sports fans, are all about, whether it's home games or away games. And then what really hit me, Scott, this is where you come in. I remember an episode we did on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl. You were on there, and Glenn had brought up something about the Montreal game. And I said, damn, you know, it hit me. I said, damn, we have not done one of these stakeholder spotlights in a minute. And it comes to find out, when before I reached out to you, I was like, damn, we haven't. It's been 2 years because, you know, the COVID thing threw everything off, like what we do. We normally tackle these type of episodes around this time of year. But remember, COVID happened around April of last year. So everything just got totally thrown off. Nobody was going to games, and everybody was scrambling for their own personal things and stuff like that. So these type of episodes got lost in the shuffle. But when Glenn brought up the great points, remember that, I don't know if you remember that conversation you and Glenn had at the tail end of one of those Ranger episodes about, and you were saying about how you go to the games in Montreal, right? And you were talking about how you was going to go there with to the Bell Center with a Kreider jersey on. Remember that conversation you had with Glenn?
Yes. Yeah, because he asked me, with all my just ripping on Kreider, he asked me, why do you possibly own a Kreider jersey?
Right.
So, yeah, I had to explain that. My first time up there was after the season following when we went to the finals and knocked them out in the conference finals. And, of course, you know, Kreider with the Carey Price thing. They're still not over it up there. Trust me, they are still not over that up there.
Okay.
So, so I went and got a Kreider jersey just to wear up there. And my buddy Patrick, who's my host up there in Montreal, just begged and pleaded with me not to wear it. He's like, you will get in a fight. Trust me. So common sense, there's not a lot of times in my life I can I'd say common sense prevailed, but that time it did. And I think I also had a St. Louis at the time that I went with, and it actually worked out well because even though they were still bitter, you know, about losing that conference finals to us, St. Louis and my buddy Daryl that I was with had a Matteau jersey on, so they just, you know, they love anybody Quebecois, and both of those guys are so we got a lot, even with the bad sentiment from you know, Fresh losing that series, we still got compliments on our jerseys up there, and you know, they lost, of course, but it was a good time.
Yeah, that summary of what you shared on that episode back in the winter with Glenn on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Prowl is basically the whole thing we're going to talk about with you, the sports fan, tonight. So we're going to get into that, you know, your voyages, especially road games, because nobody loves road games when it comes to sports fans more than the people on this platform. I mean, we love the Garden, we love Yankee Stadium, we love MetLife. Some fans cheer for fans, you know, for, you know, the team in Citi Field, and you know, we'll talk about all that, right? Or Nassau Coliseum, the Rock, you know, the Prudential Center. But the range, okay, tell who is Scott? What type of sports fan are you? What teams do you root for, collegiate, pro? And we'll take it from there. And then we'll get back to that Rangers question. We're going to drill into all of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I like to think I'm a pretty diehard sports fan. My teams are the Rangers, the Giants, the Mets, and the Maryland Terrapins. and it's funny, you know, I grew up in New Jersey my whole life. So I'm in these Facebook groups, college basketball, college football, and, you know, most of the people from the tri-state area, if they didn't go away to a big school, you know, a D1 school, you know, they just, you know, you just pick teams because the Northeast is pretty much the only part of the country where the pro teams are more popular than the college teams. I mean, you go down to Miami, for example. Yeah, I mean, you know, a Miami Hurricanes team that's 0-9 is still going to sell out. And, you know, they had Dan Marino-era playoff games blacked out because they couldn't fill up that stadium. They couldn't fill up Joe Robbie. So I'm surprised I remember the name there. So, you know, Tennessee, Texas, of course, the SEC, you know, you go out anywhere outside of the Northeast, and the college team is bigger, but not in this area. So people that if they didn't go away in New York, New Jersey, you know, they'd just pick a team. So I'm in these Facebook groups, and in the college football group, it's, you know, Texas, Notre Dame, USC, Florida State, all these people are fans of. The basketball ones, Duke, UNC, whatnot. The basketball one, you know, it's not so strange to be posting Maryland things because, you know, they're good again. They won a national championship, had a nice run when I was there. So, yes, the moral of the story is, you know, people have posted these college football games. They're posting about Notre Dame, Florida, et cetera. And I come in with, like, posting the Maryland box score. People are like, who the hell is a Maryland fan? I'm like, well, I went to school there. That is what I was getting at. So, you know, I didn't ask for the Maryland Terrapins sports program, which has had its better days. But that is my team. That's where I went to school. So I did not get the luxury of just, you know, picking a team out of the top 25 and everything. And So there I am. So those are my teams, Mets, Rangers, Giants, and Maryland. And being a Maryland fan, and going to games down there, it would explain why I'm not an NBA fan. You know, I was there in 94 to 98. My freshman year, Joe Smith was, you know, the best player in college. Maryland was a top 10 team. Yeah. In fact, that one picture that I sent you, the frame picture I have on the wall, I mean, I've literally had that for 26 years. That was February something 95, number 8 Maryland played number 1 UNC. That was Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace's team, and we had a massive comeback and knocked them off, rushed the court, and you can actually see me in that photo. So, you know, you go to games like that, Tim Duncan, Wake Forest, my senior year, Steve Francis was there. So, you know, you see some, you know, really good top 10 ACC games. And then you come home and you try to be – and nothing personal against the Knicks because, you know, it didn't matter where I was. But, you know, you try to watch an NBA game after that, it's just not the same sport to me. Given the title that I was never really a basketball fan at all on any level before I went to school, and then all of a sudden I was thrown into, you know, a top 10 ACC program, I definitely acquired a taste for that very quickly. But coming back – just didn't really take to the NBA because, you know, the student section, the band, the March Madness, it just wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. So I never really adopted an NBA team onto that list.
Yeah, I can understand that. And coming from a perspective of seeing it from both sides as far as going to collegiate games, whether it's basketball and college football, college basketball and college football versus, you know, pro teams, like, Give me your, man, we could spend 3 hours on this shit. This is so much levels to this. Give me your point of view, like when you're at these, you know, when you were at Maryland games back in the 90s, because you said those mid-90s teams, I remember those. And then even up into the team that won the national championship with Gary Williams, I remember that team. That team had Baxter on it, Wilcox, Juan Dixon,
yep.
Steve Blake.
Juan Dixon.
What's his name? Yep. Nicholas came off the bench, but that was after the Steve Francis.
Yep.
I used to love those Maryland teams because that had Terrence Morris on it the year before that. Oh, man, they were so fun.
Yeah.
I was always anti-Duke. This is when Maryland was in the ACC, and now they're in the Big Ten. The years you were there, I think Johnny Rhodes was there, like you said, Joe Smith.
Yep.
Keith Booth might have been on that team, too, and Dwayne Stevens.
Yes.
That team. Oh,
yeah,
man.
If I can remember, my freshman year was Joe Smith's sophomore and final year. He left after that. He was the Naismith Player of the Year. But let's see if I can remember the starting five. So it's Keith Booth, Dwayne Simpkins, Johnny Rhodes, and X-Ray Hip, I believe, was the starting five that year.
Oh, man. Yeah, good Maryland. Solid. It was at Cole Fieldhouse, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that place was,
I remember that.
That place was
absolutely
rocking.
That's in College Park, Maryland. Right outside of D.C.
Yep.
And now, how is it, okay, you see both sides. You go to collegiate games over the years as a student, alumni, versus, you know, pro teams as a Rangers fan. What is the similarity, forget the similarities, the main differences you see, because you said the band, and what is the energy like comparing the two between collegiate and pro, from your point of view as the fan you are?
Well, I can compare it in basketball. I mean, I have been to NBA games. You know, nothing really playoffs. Maybe it's different in the playoffs, finals, et cetera. But just a regular season NBA game compared to, you know, a regular season, depending who they're playing, you know, if it's a big, you know, big interconference game, you know, two nationally ranked teams, it's just night and day. Again, the student section is nuts. The band, just, you know, basically the student section, it's a whole nother aspect to the game. And, I mean, yeah, of course the NBA is raucous fans, just like any other pro. If I had to compare it to something most, I would compare it to hockey, I guess, because, you know, I've always said, and I'm not the only, I didn't invent this theory, you know, there's sports fans and there's hockey fans. Or hockey fans are a different breed. You know, hockey's always going to be at the bottom of the top four, the big four sports, and we're okay with that. You know, hockey fans are just a different breed than regular sports fans, and I think that's why it's, you know, it's kind of in a league of its own. So, you know, come hockey playoffs, the atmosphere, that's the best way I could, I guess, compare to a big-time college basketball game, to a March Madness game. I mean, as a neutral observer, I went to when they had the ACC tournament in Brooklyn for a couple of years, I went to the semis. I went to a Duke-UNC ACC semis. Now, I mean, I'm kind of a neutral observer because Maryland wasn't playing, but I hate Duke. They were our number one. So I was for UNC, but, you know, so many people came up from North Carolina for that. Obviously, you got a lot of bandwagon fans in the area for both teams. But as a neutral observer, yeah, you know, it's the same people that were wearing Steph Curry jerseys all around for the last couple of years that are now wearing LeBron James Lakers jerseys. But, yeah, even as a neutral observer, in an area, I mean, let's be realistic here, the ACC tournament had no business being in Brooklyn, but whatever, I took advantage of that because I'm here. So it was jumping in there. It was good to see, you know, the two the biggest rivalry. You can arguably call it the biggest rivalry in sports. Because I lived down there. I lived in Raleigh in 2005, 2006. So, you know, before that, you know, I knew Yankees, even though I'm not a Yankees fan, I'm a Mets fan. You know, I know what Yankees Red Sox is all about. You know, Ohio State, Michigan. I've been to a Michigan Penn State football game. So I'm really no stranger to rivalries, but nothing compared to when I was living in Raleigh and Duke UNC games. It's insane. You know, and of course I'll put Rangers Islanders in that mix, Boston, Montreal. But nothing compared to what I saw with Duke UNC. I mean, you had, you know, it was like Civil War. You had brother against brother, father against son. Yeah.
Was that in Durham or was that in Chapel Hill?
No, I never went to a Duke UNC game. I mean, there's like a $2,000 buy-in. The Duke UNC game I went to was in Brooklyn. The ACC. Yeah, yeah. I did get to Cameron once. When I was living down there. I don't know if I told you. I was working for the RBC Center. I was actually working for the Hurricanes. The first time I got to touch the Stanley Cup after they won it. I never told you that.
Never knew that. This is why we do this.
Okay. Yeah, I was doing changeovers. You know, I was converting if it was basketball today, you know, hockey or concert tomorrow. I was one of the guys who hauled all that stuff and covered the ice and took down the glass and the boards and turned it into a basketball arena or a concert stage. Not as glamorous as it sounds. It was a really terrible job. you know, the difference is, too, you watch, like, have you ever watched a changeover? Have you ever, like, been, like, in the garden or seen one on TV? They have a time-lapse video of them. Yeah, so, you know, the garden has, like, 60 guys. Yeah. So the garden's got, like, 60 guys doing it at once. And, you know, down in Raleigh, we had about 20 to 25 on a crew. So it would take, like, 4, 5, 6 hours to do it. It was not a pleasant job, but what I was getting at is my boss, who was the operations manager, his name was Dan. He was one of my good friends from high school. Went to college with him at UMass, so he kind of like said, you know, look at my boy Dan when you get down there. So he actually happened to get me that job, and I do appreciate that to this day. So he came into Duke Maryland tickets at Cameron free of charge, which was nice because not quite as expensive as Duke UNC at Cameron, but, you know, any ACC game is going to be unaffordable. So I got to go to Cameron, and, you know, as much as I hate Duke, I appreciate that, you know, that cathedral for what it is. It's right up there with Wrigley, Fenway, old Yankee Stadium, Lambeau. I mean, it's up there. So I did go, and the funny thing is we won 3 out of 4 games in Cameron, 3 out of 4 years, and I went to the one, of course, and that was the one. I don't know if you remember this, but you know, after Maryland had won 2 straight in Cameron 2 years, Coach K had his guys sign center court in Sharpie as a reminder. I mean, you got to love Coach K. You can hate Duke all you want, but I mean, you got to love Coach K. He had them sign the court in Sharpie and said, you know, just reminder whose house this is. This is your house. This is not their house. Clearly it worked. They won by like 25. The game was over like 3 minutes in. So kind of, you know, a little disappointing, but it was nice to go to a game down there. It's a good memory regardless.
That is fantastic. I never got to a Duke North Carolina game in Chapel Hill or Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was always a bucket list, but I always knew the price was going to be outrageous. So it's almost like poker. Blood ain't that rich. All right. Now, you know, it depends. If I got it, I will. And I got the time, I will. I think this is fantastic. All the stories, the backdrops, the particulars that you bring to the table from your point of view. Now, let's go right down the line as far as all your squads. All right. Now, what year have you become? Okay. What year did you become a Rangers fan, a Giants fan, a Mets fan? I guess the Terrapins is when you started enrolling at the university. That's my assumption.
Yeah.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. All right.
Yeah.
Well, run down all your teams when you became a fan. Who was your influencers and stuff like that?
All right. So Maryland is easy. Fall 94, graduated high school 94 that fall. You know, the rest is history there. Mets, I was 85, 86. I was born in 76, so I was 9, 10 years old. My father was not a baseball fan. He's still not. He just never was. My mom kind of was, and my mom was a Mets fan. So, you know, 85, 86, you know, I'm not an idiot. I won't go as far as to say it was a Mets fan. It kind of was, but we knew it was temporary. You know, it's always going to be a Yankees town. Mets could win the next 4 World Series. It's going to be a Yankees town when it's over. So I understand that. But, you know, New York, you know, with the media, is a bandwagon town. So it was a Mets town, and I was 10 years old. So she took me to a bunch of games. That was obviously a, you know, insanely good team. And it doesn't hurt when, you know, 10 years old, you just get into baseball and you win the World Series. So that was that. And, you know, clearly that was the wrong decision 30 years later, 35 years later, but whatever. I would never change. When I was 96, the first, when the Yankees dynasty kicked off, I was in college. I was 22. I was watching all my fellow New York, New Jersey friends, party their asses off for five straight years in their younger 20, in their low 20s. I could have jumped ship. Several of them did. I could have jumped ship and, get in while the getting was good, but I didn't. That's not what I do. I don't change teams ever.
That's a cardinal sin. You don't ever jump ship.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
When I was down at Maryland, I never picked up any of the DC teams. In fact, I hated them even more because, I would go to Giants games, in RFK. I would go to Ranger games at the old Capitol Center in Landover before the newer building in Chinatown. If anything, and when I went to Raleigh, I went to a couple Ranger games. So, I hate the DC teams, but, I adopted the Hurricanes as like a second team, but I never lost my team. So that was the Mets. Giants, my father was a big football fan. And the funny thing is, when I was a kid around that same age, I started to become a Dolphins fan, and only because I liked their uniforms. So, and the Dolphins, my first football memory, I was a kid, I liked the teal. So my first football memory I remember was Super Bowl 19, which was Dolphins 49ers, and so I was big time rooting for the Dolphins in that. And I think somebody had actually gotten me a Dolphins jersey. I would assume my parents. I don't know who else. But then my father quickly put the kibosh on that and said, no, this is a Giants household. So okay, that was all right. And clearly that one worked out in my favor. I'm like the baseball 2 years later, we're celebrating Super Bowl 21 and, three more since then. So clearly that was the right choice there. So that's how I got into the Giants. The Rangers, I think I got equally as lucky because, the Devils weren't a team until 82. I was six. I don't know if I was a hockey fan by then, but the Devils started and, they were, and this is not even a knock on the Devils, but they were terrible for the first 6 years. The expansion draft back, well, they weren't an expansion team. Actually, they moved from, Colorado, but they were terrible. And, they didn't get good until they made the playoffs in 88. And, in somewhere in that span, 85, 86, again, same age, 9, 10, we're obviously very impressionable. My father started to get into the hockey, obviously Mr. Jersey guy, so he became he was a Devils fan. And my cousins from Yonkers, who are about 10 years older than me, who I, looked up to, kind of idolized, they huge, enormous Ranger fans. And they got a hold of me and steered me in the right direction there. And actually, I still remember my first Ranger game. We used to go once a year to Rangers Devils at the remember the old Brendan Byrne Arena called back in those days.
Yep.
So we used to go to a game because even the Rangers weren't very good in that era. I mean, they did go it was the finals in 80s. Was it the finals or the conference finals against Montreal in 86? I don't remember if it was in any case. Other than that, the Rangers had a nice run in 86, but other than that, they were a low level playoff team at best. But even back then, the Garden was, impossible to get tickets to and very expensive. And, you didn't have your secondhand market and your websites, obviously. So the only way to get tickets was literally right outside the Garden at God knows how much price. So it was always cheaper and easier to go to a game with Brendan Byrne. And, that place is always split half and half. But I think it was even more so back in the day. And I remember going to a game, sitting in the upper deck, and I think my father was still trying desperately to get me to be a Devils fan, and I remember looking around as a 10-year-old kid, and the Ranger fans were just drunker and louder and more obnoxious. And I said, this is my team. The people in the blue jerseys are really, really loud and funny, and they're hilarious. And I don't think I realized at the time that they were drunk.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You said your father tried to get you to become a Devils fan? Why would he do that? Wasn't he a Rangers fan, you said?
No. My father was a Devils fan. My father, it was my cousins from Yonkers, who were Rangers fans.
Okay.
My father was a Devils fan, so he tried to steer me towards towards the Devils.
I misheard that. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you know, they were both basically tugging on me at the game, and you know, the other Ranger fans in the section, drunk, obnoxious, and loud as they were, kind of steered me in the right direction. So that was that.
How was that father-son rivalry when the father is literally the rival of the team in the Metro? I mean, obviously you could combine it, whether it's Islanders, Rangers, Devils. How was that, you know, back and forth over the years, you know? You know, you being a Blue Shirts fan.
Well, that was always a nice dynamic. He's definitely a legit Devils fan. I don't think back in those days, I think it took him a while to get into it. Luckily, for 94, for that conference finals, I was 17. What's that?
Do I remember that?
I
remember that, of course.
Sure. That's best series in history of hockey, as far as I'm concerned. And,
right.
I was 17. I was a senior in high school, so I was going out for most of the games. And this is a funny story. So I'm at my prom for game seven. And, this is 1994. There's no internet. There's no smartphones. Do you remember 976-1313, the sports phone?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a while ago.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you remember the 90s was had that 976 and 900 number span of, you know, all celebrities had those recording numbers and whatnot. But, you know, the sports phone was, you know, that was all we had. I'm at my senior prom at the Brunswick Hilton in East Brunswick, New Jersey. And everybody, all my friends cared, you know, Rangers fans, Devils fans, like we all cared. One of my friends had a beeper. His father kept beeping him the score updates, and I went there in my tuxedo with a roll of quarters in my pocket, and I'm on the payphone in the lobby in my tux. You know, they wouldn't let us into the bar to watch the game, of course, for 17, 18. So I'm just pumping quarters into this thing all night, you know, getting my score updates, and, you know, 1-0, I hear lead scores, 1-0, you know, 7 minutes left in the third, 5 minutes left in the third, 1 minute left in the third, and then, of course, the unthinkable happens, 7.7 seconds left, Valeri Zalabukin ties the game. So come about halfway through the first overtime, I run out of quarters. So I end up, by the start of the second overtime, I end up calling my parents, collect, remember all 1-800-COLLECT, and I remember my mom picks up the phone, and she's saying, and yes, I do remember these memories vividly, as far back as they were, and my mom picks up the phone, aren't you with the problem? Yeah, I said, but the problem, what's going on with the game? She takes the phone and puts it by the speaker of the TV, and I sat there and listened to the second overtime of that game, and very thankfully for everyone involved, it ended about 7-8 minutes into the second overtime. I think I remember my mother telling me there was something like a $40 or $50 phone call, but obviously it ended well and had a happy ending. So that was back in the '90s, we made do with what we had: a payphone and a roll of quarters.
That game was crazy. I think Lee Chat scored in that game. Of course, Richter had a big game, of course, with a lot of great saves. This is fascinating. I did not know you was at the – I mean, how would I know, of course? But at the prom of all places? Wow. Wow. That is bananas. Now, I can imagine, I hope you didn't rub it in your father's face when the Rangers won the conference finals.
I'm sure I did.
Oh, you were talking smack. Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, it had to be done. I mean, we still go to games. We still go to games. We went to. We didn't make it to one this year. The COVID and whatnot. My girlfriend is a Devils. I always seem to date Devils fans. My girlfriend is a big Devils fan. So we actually went once they opened up. I got to two games this year. Me and my friend Vinny went down to Philly for a game, and that was, it was one of the games where Zibanejad exploded. You know, I think they ended up winning 8-4, 8-3, something like that. The Rangers slaughtered them. And then my girlfriend Sharon and I, she remember she was we were coming out of the Rangers Devils. We were coming out of that game, and I called in on the way home.
That's right.
And they won that game, so that was nice. Got some retribution because we went 2 years ago. I think my father went to that one with us, and they lost, so it was nice to get a little retribution. Yeah, she and I are on opposite sides. We're both Giants fans. We're both Mets fans, but we're on opposite sides of hockey, and she's a Rutgers grad like my father is. So we've had a couple. We went last season right before COVID. You know, Maryland had a very good year last year, and right before COVID broke out, Maryland was ranked like number 7, and, you know, Rutgers was good. They were undefeated at home. And Rutgers, I mean, there was no tournament ended up, but we didn't know that at the time. And Rutgers, they were undefeated at home, but they were terrible on the road. And they pretty much needed that, a nice win off, you know, against the number 7 team in the nation. And then they destroyed Maryland. It was awful. You know, I was going to Rutgers Maryland games at the Rack in Piscataway for, you know, a decade now, because they were playing each other even before both teams were in the Big Ten. And, you know, Maryland won every single one of those games. So, you know, I'm like 8-0 against Rutgers, and then all of a sudden they win that. it had to happen, and they won. But I was with my it was me and 3 Rutgers fans, actually. My father, my girlfriend, and my friend Mark, a good friend from high school. All 3 of them Rutgers alums. So I was outnumbered there, and it just didn't really help that they lost by like 15. that was interesting. So yeah, I got a little retribution with the woman at the Prudential Center this year. And hopefully I'll get it back in football.
I was going to say, now, if you had to rate what a level of interest Rangers, Giants, Mets, Terrapins, 1 out of 10, how high do you like Rangers? Are you 8, 9, 10? Giants, 8, 9, 10? Mets, 8, 9, 10? Where does your passion rank for each squad?
Rangers is 10, definitely. I would put Maryland right up there with the Giants, both of which 9s. I mean, you know, I'm just as diehard and passionate, but, you know, hockey's my thing. I play hockey. I've been to the most games. Hockey's just my number one sport. So Rangers is definitely 10. So I got to knock Maryland and the Giants down to a 9, just because there has to be a little, you know, some difference there. In fact, we'll even call it an 8 because there's got to be a little more of a gap there. So, and the Maryland, you know, obviously football and basketball most, but it pretty much extends to every sport. You know, Maryland went to the finals in lacrosse this year, and, you know, lacrosse, it's huge now, especially in New Jersey, New York, you know, in the high school level, but it's always been big in the state of Maryland, all over the place. And, you know, they're top 10 in the nation every year. In fact, they have lost. They finally won the title in 2017, but they have lost. This was the 8th time they've lost in the national championship game since 1995. It's a terrible stat, but, you know, good, bad, depending on how you look at it. You know, they far surpassed the Buffalo Bills. So, they were undefeated this year and got to the finals and lost by a goal. You ever watch lacrosse at that level, college lacrosse?
Years ago, I would say back in the early 2000s, I remember even when the Major League Lacrosse League was really trying to be bubbled up on the national TV stage, but it's kind of got lost in the shuffle. I was kind of interested in the event, you know, because I remember Hopkins was good.
Duke, North Carolina.
Okay.
What's that? Hopkins, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Navy, Hofstra, because it's huge on Long Island. It's always been huge on Long Island. You know, if you're a hockey fan, you'll like it. You know, maybe it's one of those things like you know, hockey, people that aren't really into hockey, you know, like, I don't really watch it on TV. And then they go to their first game and they're like, oh, my God, what was I missing? That level, but I think if you –
I always say, Scott, the two sports that are the best in person that TV doesn't do it justice there. I always say, this is my top 2. I don't know where you agree with this. Hockey and boxing. The reason why is the TV. I don't like how hockey is presented even to this day on television, because you only see one third of the ice because of the camera view. They don't. I don't know why they still haven't advanced to a more of a panoramic view where you can see the entire ice, or maybe an end of the ice. Because like you already know, in hockey, you play the sport. You don't see the line changes. You don't see how guys set up on defense. You don't know how guys set up in the neutral zone,
right,
stay onside, to release the puck when chasing dump. Those things you can't catch on TV unless you do the replay. Like, in person, you see the entire thing. That's why, and it's faster, the crowd's more into it. I don't know where you stand on it as far as the TV experience, where it could be a little bit better for the everyday fan if the sport wants to grow it, and be as far as, boxing and hockey, just in person with it. I don't know any sport better than those two in person. That's just me. Now, I don't know where you stand on that.
Oh, hockey, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, so many people, I've taken people to their first games, so many people. Now, they didn't necessarily become hooked on the sport afterwards. Maybe a few of them did, but people who just aren't into it when they go to a game. I don't know anybody that I've ever, talked to that didn't like hockey, that went to their first game and wasn't, like, blown away. Like, yeah, it's night and day on TV. Like you just said, being able to, as a hockey fan, people knowing the sport, yes, we're looking for things like that. We're looking for the line change. We're we see everything. It's like poetry. These guys are so fast, so talented. It's like poetry watching them. And yeah, when you see people who've never been or never watched, I love their reactions, because they're like, oh my god, this is what I've been missing.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Boxing, I can't really attest to. I mean, I've been to I've never really been to a big boxing match. I mean, I've been to, I guess Golden Gloves and lower circuits, I guess. And yeah, it was interesting. But I'm sure the atmosphere, for a big name, big money fight, pay-per-view fight. Have you ever been to one of those, like a big name fight?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Vegas, Atlantic City, yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm sure you can attest to that. I have never been, so I can't. I have been to plenty of WWF or WWE, whatever they're calling it these days. I've been to plenty of those, and pretty much everything is better live. I'm not really comparing wrestling to boxing, other than the same ring. But it's a lot cooler. It's a great thing to watch live as well.
Now, you said you brought fans to hockey games. All right. Now, this is where it gets real fun. I mean, not that this conversation already hasn't been fun, because I learned a lot about you that I didn't even know. This is fantastic, man. This is right up our wheelhouse here on the Stakeholder Spotlight with Scotty B. Man, Scott, you said you took fans to hockey games. Now, this is not just the Garden. These are road games as well. Now, I loved you to dive into the road games, how you love planning road trips, whether, hockey games within the States, Canada. How did you get into traveling internationally, across the border? You've been to games in Montreal, Ottawa, Western Canada. What made you do that, as far as what was your interest in that? Like, break it down. Like, what year did you start doing that? Who were your peers, as far as friends and family? Is it, the family from Yonkers? Like, that, I think this is the type of angle we love on this platform, because we are all about going to home games, away games, or whatever. But what is your story behind that?
Well, the first, I've been to, going to school in Maryland, I've been to plenty of games at Washington, obviously. I've been to a ton of games at New Jersey, a couple games in Philly. Canada, the first time I went was 2013 or 14. I had a friend that used to work for the company that I work at, and he lives outside of Pittsburgh. So we were just planning to go to a Rangers-Penguins game. So I went out there for the Rangers-Penguins game, and I'm looking at the schedule, and the next night they were in Toronto, and it's not exactly around the corner. It was another 4 or 5 hour drive to Toronto, but I figured, it's 7.5 hours from here. I'm like, whatever. You literally, from Pittsburgh to Toronto, you literally go through Niagara Falls. Yes, it was the first week of January, but I'd never been to Niagara Falls either, so I said, you know what? I have a passport. Let me, whatever. I'm not doing anything. Just drive another 5 hours, go to Toronto. Yeah. So I went out to the game. Yeah, exactly. So I drove out to Pittsburgh. We went to the game. The Rangers lost that one. But this was, yeah, so I don't remember the – I meant to look it up and I forgot. But Toronto was terrible. But that was my first Canadian hockey game. And, you know, it was nuts because Toronto is going to be like we talk about with college teams, you know, like an 0-9 Notre Dame, any of those teams, they're still going to sell out. And the place was packed and it's rocking and, you know, it's Maple Leafs fans. And, you know, it might as well have been a playoff game. And the Rangers beat them 7-3, which was nice. Yeah, and then people were really just so nice up there. And so that was a nice that was a nice time. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and you know, obviously our dollar's worth a little more than there, so you get a little more bang for the buck. so that was fun, and I enjoyed that. And then I think the very next season is when I met my my friend Patrick, my Montreal connection. And the funny thing is I met him on some Facebook group, some hockey Facebook group. You know, and he's in Montreal. So I met him during the conference finals, and it was some pretty intense and not the friendliest of banter back and forth. I mean, it kind of got heated. You know, obviously those Montreal people, very, very, very passionate. And it kind of got heated. And then, like, you know, we just started PMing, and, you know, I think, you know, cooler heads prevailed, and we started talking like normal human beings, and we just we became friendly, and he's a season ticket holder. So that very next year, I went up there for my first game up there, and that's a crazy crowd. And I've been up there now 10 times. I was 1-7 before last year. Remember both those comebacks? You know, they were down 4-1 in the first one, and they ended up winning that 6-5. And then the second game in February, they were down like 2-0, 3-1, something like that. And they came back and won that one as well. So I needed that after going 1-9 or 1-10 in the first 11 games up there. You know, I went up there for game two of the 2017 playoff. And I mean, let me tell you, that place in the playoffs, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I've been to playoff games at the Garden. In this current era, you know, post-renovation, it's not the same building. We don't, you know, we can get into that. We don't need to get into that. It's the MSG is just not the same place it was in the 90s.
No, it's fair. It's a fair conversation. Okay. It's your point of view. Get into it.
Okay, yeah. You know, MSG, I was just talking about this with somebody where, no, it's loud. It's loud when they score. I said, well, you know, any place is loud when they score. They scored. But the difference now is that the Rangers crowd now, it's so expensive. I mean, it's so expensive to go. And I think that's part of the reason why I started to get into the road games, because I said, you know what, for the price of a Rangers ticket, I can get a ticket somewhere else and a hotel room. So mm-hmm, that's how I kind of convinced to go, you know, to start doing the road trips. And, you know, like I was at game 7 of the 2015 Eastern Conference Finals against Tampa, and that place was just a library. I mean, yeah, they cheered. It was loud when they hit the ice. And then silence. Wow, a couple Let's Go Rangers chants. Like, that's it. You know, they took away the blue seats. It's all corporate. It's all just, you know, Wall Street people giving out tickets as comps, giving them to their kids. Just not the same. And it's the way I describe it is it's a wait-to-be-entertained crowd. It's, you know, yeah, when you score, we'll cheer. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. And the Rangers were just dead. I mean, I blame the Rangers. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? They got to feed off.
Right.
Yeah, they were dead. But they're going to feed off the crowd. Right. And I think a perfect comparison is the '94 finals. You know, the Rangers are up 3-1 right. in that series, and then they blow the next two. And so people going into Game 7 are terrified. If there's any excuse to be quiet, it would be that, because people are absolutely terrified that they're going to blow this series and it's going to be 55 years. But when they hit the ice, you watch those highlights, when they hit the ice, they blew the roof off that place. And they did not shut up the entire game. And guess what? The Rangers got 2 goals in the first period and never looked back. So, I mean, right. it's just different. I mean, you know, the Rangers in that Tampa series, the Rangers were down 3-2 in Tampa, won the game 7-3. you know, you'd think we'd be fired up, but I mean, yeah, exactly. Broussard had a hat trick, I believe, and you know, so the Rangers were coming off the big win, coming home, and it was just dead. So
yeah,
it's you know, Montreal, not the same crowd, not the same. It's crazy in there, absolutely crazy in there. So that was that. And then I wanted to explore more of Canada. I just, you know, the people are great. People are nice. And so a year or so later, I went and I did the, you know, we get Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary all in one shot. Yeah. And they're Calgary and Edmonton are close. They're, I mean, I flew. I took, you know, I did a bunch of one-way flights. I flew into Seattle and then took a three-hour bus ride to Vancouver. It was saved about $150 that way. So I went to the game there. They lost that game, but, you know, there was a nice arena. And then I flew to – which one was
that
first?
Was Rogers Place,
I don't remember.
Rogers Place.
No, no,
it was
the last – not Rogers Place. Now it's the Rogers Place, but it wasn't the Rogers Place yet. It was still the old building. And you want to hear something funny is that the Rangers – that was the Rangers just – Glenn Sather just retired, and – you know, yes, we hated Glenn Sather. So Glenn Sather just retired, and I go and I fly 2,000 miles to Edmonton for, guess what? Glenn Sather night in Edmonton. Like, you
wow.
can't. Yeah, I got the pictures to prove it. You cannot make this up.
Oh man!
Now of course he's a
funny.
Yeah. Now of course he's a god there because he was the coach for all five Stanley Cups,
yeah.
But. You know, our experience as GM, not so much. So I go to Edmonton for Glenn Sather night, and I think they lost that game. Rangers lost that game, I want to say, in overtime. And then I went to Calgary. So that was fun. But what I didn't do was really explore the areas. I did get to something called the Capilano Suspension Bridge in Vancouver, which is it's just a long suspension bridge in a forest, and I happened to be there during you next time you're on Facebook, look up it's in its own album on my pictures. Check that out if you're bored, and you know it's this forest, and it happened to be somewhere between Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, so they decorate basically the entire forest in Christmas lights. It's really amazing. So that was fun.
Wow.
And then apparently, but what I didn't know is that, you know, I sent you those pictures of the mountains and the helicopter tour in the Rockies. Now that's about an hour's drive outside of Calgary, but I didn't know that at the time. I remember, landing in Calgary, and I was taking a cab back, and my cabbie said to me, "Are you going to Banff?" And Banff is like a major ski resort tourist town, right in the mountains there. And I was like, "What's Banff?" And he explains it to me, and then I'm looking up on the, I'm looking on Google the pictures. I'm like, oh, man, how come nobody told me about this? You know, I completely dropped the ball on that. So I immediately knew I wanted to go back. And then the following year, I skipped Vancouver, and I only did. I've been to Calgary three times. One of the years I did Vancouver, and I did Calgary and Edmonton, and one of the times I only did Calgary, and I was there for like 4 days. And I actually met a friend. Funny, about a month before I was going out to Calgary for the first time, I happened to go to the Rangers Flames game at the Garden, and I saw a decent amount of people wearing Flames jerseys. So I was just going up and talking to everybody. Oh, you're from Calgary? A couple transplants, a couple bandwagon. And I met one guy. his name is Brian, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm in from Calgary for the game, and So we exchanged numbers. I said, I'm coming out there next month. And he was like, oh, great, cool. Yeah. So he gives me his number, looked me up. And, we ended up going to the game, and he's actually a good friend of mine now. We chat a lot, and he's been out.
I was going to say that real quick before interjecting, you can continue on. That is a unique thing about sports fans that are passionate about their own teams, and they find a friendship and connection with a fan from another team that is as passionate as the teams you root for. I've noticed that over the years, and that is really interesting. And that is, I think that is kind of dope because people don't realize that just because there's a Ranger fan might be a fan of there's another Ranger fan, doesn't mean you share the same type of passion. Meaning you could be with a Calgary Flame fan, flew across two countries to go to the Garden just because they are that passionate as you are as a Ranger fan going all the way to Western Canada, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Now, he's got it easy because his fiance works for WestJet, the airline, the Canadian airline. So they fly for free. And he's seen them in every arena. So, and believe it or not, they don't often get, you know, we get 100% of the time we're going to get Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary in one road trip, but he doesn't always get Rangers, Devils, because there's so many teams. You know, it's not just three teams. He's got Rangers, Devils, Islanders, Flyers, Penguins, Boston. You know, there's a bunch of teams in the area, so they kind of mix it up sometimes. So it's actually rare that he gets Rangers, Devils, Islanders all in one shot, and he did a couple years ago, and I didn't go to the Islander game with him, but we went to both games. You know, I hooked up, took care of the Rangers, the tickets at the Garden, and, you know, we got Devils tickets about 15 rows off the ice for like $30. You know, Devils tickets, regular season, if they ain't playing the Rangers, they are cheap.
Now, is it safe to say that the new Seattle Kraken team, you're there whenever operations and the seasons jump in, you're out to Seattle. I mean, you can get to Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. Seattle is enough. I mean, you went to Seattle on the bus, so you're going to see the Kraken.
Yeah, probably not in the first year. It depends on the schedule. You know, it depends what else. Because if they have Vancouver in that same road trip, then, yeah, that's a no-brainer because that's, you know, a bus ride or a quick flight or train or something. That's a no-brainer. I wouldn't mind letting the craze die down because, you know, it is in the first year. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be ridiculously expensive. So depending on the schedule works out, yeah, I could definitely put that together. And that's interesting because, you know, are the Rangers now going to make that a four-game road trip? Or would they put that in more with California? Who knows? So who knows what the schedule is going to look like? Because I do like getting out there. I've been to 17 road arenas for the Rangers, cities.
What was your favorite of the what was your favorite hockey arena of all? Better question. Top three arenas to visit and why, but not and take arenas away from it. Top three cities on the road you visited for hockey, and then if you want to add also your favorite Giants games you've been to, home or away, and as well as the cities you visited. I mean, that's a loaded question, but I want to make sure we get all that in.
Well, all right. Let me change and go over to the Giants first because that's an easy one because I don't have many great memories. My Giants road record is atrocious, and I mean terrible.
Oh, no.
Now I haven't seen them in as many places. Oh yeah. I mean, I honestly think I've been to a bunch of Redskins games and Ravens games. From my time in Maryland. My sister, she just moved to New York a couple of years ago, but she went to school in Maryland also, and she stayed down there. So, you know, we went – once the Ravens became a thing, we used – every time Giants weren't there often, but once when they were, we went go to those games. And obviously the Ravens got very good very quickly. I was terrible in both those. Other than those two, I've been to Pittsburgh once. That was a loss. I've been to Dallas once. That was a loss. And, of course, you know, when the new Cowboys Stadium opened, the Giants won the first 3 years there. Of course, I go to game number four.
Right.
Of course. So I lost in Pittsburgh. They win three out of four in Cameron. I go to number four. They win three out of four in Dallas. I go to number four. So I lost that one. That's pretty much all. And Charlotte, of course, 2 years ago. Not only did I lose that one, but I lost that one on a 63-yard field goal.
that was a hot-ass day.
You cannot make
this stuff up. It was like 500 degrees out there. It was like 500 degrees out there. It was so fucking hot.
Yeah, it was small. It was so hot. But we had a great, great tailgate. We got chafing dishes. We got Bojangles. We got this barbecue place, this pulled pork and whatnot place.
Can I ask you a question? I know. You ever wish that the hockey, throwing in basketball if you want, that you could have that all-day experience? It's not set up like that where hockey fan could experience a tailgate like a football. Like if you go to the Rangers game, you could have a four-hour tailgate for the Rangers and go to the game. Like I wish hockey and basketball, even baseball, was designed like that. You know, like the football all-day experience. You know what I'm saying? I know because of the number of games. You ever thought about things like that, why it couldn't be like that? for the fans?
Oh, yeah, and I have experienced it. I experienced it in Raleigh. This is great. This is the benefit of befriending some rednecks is that when you know how they do the simulcast, they did it at the Garden, actually. I remember they did it at the Garden in 94. I was at the Garden for games 4 and 6 of the finals. So the Hurricanes were doing that in 2006 for the finals. So they had a chance to win it in game 6, and they did the same thing the Rangers did. They were up 3-1 in their finals, and they blew it. They almost blew it. They lost games 5 and 6 before winning game 7 at home. But game 6 was on the road in Edmonton, and so they had the simulcast going. So we were going to go, and we loaded up a couple guys I knew had pickup trucks. We loaded up. Obviously, grills and coolers and food and beer and whatnot. But they loaded up couches, a generator, a giant TV, and we literally, because it's June, June anywhere, but it happened to be June in Raleigh, and we literally set up a living room in the parking lot, and just couch, love seat, tables, grill, coolers, and we just set up a living room in the parking lot and ended up watching the game. And we never even went in, to watch it in the arena because we were just, nice. what difference does it make? TV in there, TV out here. We're fine. At least in here is the beer's free.
Right.
So we watched it there. I mean, we had people from all over. People were walking in. They just started, yeah, come hang out with us here. Sure. We had this massive, 30 person tailgate in an outdoor living room set up. So we're never going to get that at the Garden, obviously, because it's in the middle of Midtown. But and so I think our problem is
always block off the streets if they really wanted to, from 8th to 6th, and from 34th, 35th up, and then maybe 32nd and 31st down. They could do that. I don't know. I never understood that. But they do that out of town. You're right. Like North Carolina, I could see that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they do that. Don't they do that up by Yankee Stadium? Don't they block off a couple streets by the, where the bars are? Or do they not?
I'm saying more of a, on a regular basis. I know because hockey is more of a winter sport and it's colder. I get it. But I wish it was more often, Or not even just hockey, basketball, too. I'd say it for the Knicks. Get more fan interest. But, I'm glad that you guys did it like that. The setup and the parking lot fans was coming through. Real quick, because before we get off, your top three favorite road games or favorite arenas, and also the favorite three cities, just visiting, you love it because or whatever, why you love it.
Right. All right. Well, arena is easily Rogers in Edmonton, the new arena. I mean, that is a cathedral. I've been to the new Cowboys Stadium. I mean, if there's a hockey equivalent, it is the Rogers Place. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. That's got to be the best arena I've ever been to. Cities, I'll tell you what. Montreal. And the hockey atmosphere, of course, is great in Edmonton, too. And what's great about when you go out there, I mean, like I said, everywhere in Canada you go, everybody's so nice. But when you go out there, 2,000 miles, I remember, meeting people, just, going out before the game in a bar, mingling, and just, meeting people. And, they don't automatically assume that you're from the East Coast because the way it works in Canada, you got all these small towns all over the place. So if a guy makes it big and makes it to the league, makes it to the big show, they'll go out and get that jersey. So I remember meeting some people in Rangers jerseys, but they just happened to be local. Guy from their town was on the team. So, but, we're talking about, I flew 2,000 miles from New Jersey for this. And they're like, oh, my God. And they start, check this guy out. They start buying me beers. I mean, they take it as a compliment. Pretty much everywhere you go, it's amazing. So definitely Edmonton, Calgary. I mean, all of them, Montreal, Toronto. And then in the United States, I got to put Boston on that list. I mean, say what you want about Boston fans. I know you're a Yankee fan, so you probably don't like the Boston. But you got to admit, I mean, it's a hockey town.
It's a big
hockey town.
Good city.
Yeah.
I just don't like the fans because of fans.
Right.
But as far as food, getting around, it's easy to get around Boston. I like compact cities. I like Nashville, Boston, D.C., Philadelphia, New Orleans, places you ain't got to drive far, just to get to the other side of town,
Another funny story about Boston, because I got a friend of mine, one of my good friends from college, name is Ed, who's from there and lives there. So I've been up there probably about 5-6 games since college for Ranger games. But I went to a game up there. It was about a week after the Giants won. I'm pretty sure it was the second one. So, I mean, we beat the Patriots both times, but I'm pretty sure it was Super Bowl 46. So I wear my Mark Bavaro jersey to this Ranger game because I want to wear something Giants. I want to be in your face to these people, right? The same thing I did with the Kreider, but the Kreider was more personal. So I wear a Mark Bavaro jersey going into this game, but it completely backfired because he's a Massachusetts guy and he's a god up there. He is an absolute god in that area. Like he's a high school football coach now, I believe. Very well respected, well liked of all the people to wear. I wasn't getting people pissed off like I wanted to because they're like, oh, we love Mark Bavaro, he's the best. So kind of backfired a little bit. I went up there with the intentions of wearing it just to talk smack about the Giants. Didn't work out, but the Rangers did win and it was nice. But yeah, Boston fans to me is funny because you go to these bars after the game and the Boston fans are they're Boston fans. They're basically the New York equivalent, maybe Philly, but a little nicer. But they start talking smack, and then the first thing I say is like, hey, I'm not a Yankees fan, man. I'm a Mets fan. Like, I don't like the Yankees. And, oh, come over here, drink with us. What are we here? What are you drinking? Once you get past the whole Yankees thing and get that out of the way, then it becomes a hockey fan. Like I said earlier, hockey fans are a different breed. So once, Rangers, Bruins, Original Six, a lot of tradition there. So once you get the Yankees thing out of the way and, nobody's a Yankee fan here, and I apologize, no offense, but it's reality. Once you get, you establish nobody's a Yankee fan, now it's just two diehard hockey fans from opposite sides of the fence just bonding as hockey fans and having an intelligent conversation and whatnot. It's hilarious.
I find that, I find that a lot, especially in Philadelphia and Boston. If you go to the sports bars when you're visiting, for whatever reasons, sports and non-sports, you're chopping it up at the sports bar with men and women fans who know their stuff. They just happen to be from those areas. That I find that often as well, man. We're out of time, but let me say this. Let me get some final thoughts on Scott, the hockey fan. Oh, not even just the hockey fan, the sports fan. If you had to give a message as just being a sports fan, just, you've mentioned bandwagon fan. I expect you to despise bandwagon fans. If you had to give a unilateral message across the sports, what would your message be to, sports fans in your generation and younger, or even older, just how to rep and just be the best fan you could be? What would your message be to the masses?
Well, the one thing my teams have taught me is patience. Clearly, you got to be patient being a Mets fan, Rangers, one cup, 80 years, just patience and loyalty. That's all there is to it. I would also recommend there's nothing wrong with, you're going to go on the road, nothing wrong with wearing your colors, but be respectful. I'm glad that I'm doing this in my older years because maybe if I was in my 20s, maybe I'd be a little drunker. Maybe I'd be a little more in your face. But, at this point in my life, I'm looking to make friends and, you're going to wear your colors. It's fine. Wear your colors wherever you want, except Philly for a Giants game. That I won't do. Never done it. Probably won't. But by all means, wear your colors. Just be respectful in someone else's house. I've been with people. You can get people talking smack to you. You smile, you walk away. I've seen some people that have to turn around and engage everything they hear. Like, dude, like, just let it go, man. We're in their house. If for the most part, if you're respectful, you'll get respect back. So patience and respect, I guess, is that's the message I can give to the younger sports fan, because you're not going to win the title every year. So unless you were a Patriots fan for the past 20 years.
You're one of the best sports fans I've come across and across the sports because of the level of knowledge and not only that, from collegiate to pro, and then home and away. Can't thank you enough, Scott, to come on the Spotlight episode. The kick it off for 2021. I've learned a lot more. A lot of things I already knew, but this is I get to know, I get to learn. And some of the things, how you attack home and away games, I kind of do that as well. As far as, you know, I looked at it like, man, the Garden's expensive. Screw that. I could spend a weekend in Toronto and still go to Canada Wonderland and get on some roller coasters. And, you know, I look at things like that, and you could relate to that. You know,
sure.
You get a vacation feel on the road. Like, you know, those are some great stories that I don't think fans get to share every day enough, because, you know, the outlets and stuff. But we're proud to share everybody's stories over the years, man. And I can't thank you enough for sharing that. It adds to what we do as far as repping the everyday sports fan, man.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. I told you I was honored that you wanted me to come on the show and share this with your fans, and even more so honored that I was the first the first back after a 2-year break. And like I said, when they open the border, if they ever open the border, I'll come pick you up. We're going to Montreal. Because I got a smoked meat and poutine place that you absolutely will go nuts over.
Nice. Scott, yo, this is fantastic, man. This episode is going to be shared across the border in, you know, sports groups,
awesome,
and, you know, social media. People need to hear this, man, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be a fan out there who would love to go, especially on the road, and they're kind of hesitant because they don't know the unknown. But there's something that will trigger or get them to do that, and something like this of you sharing these great memories, it's priceless, man. It really is.
I do appreciate it.
You know,
make sure
I get down just like you do. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was so happy I got to meet you once at that Giants tailgate. I have no doubt my mom will do it again. I think they lost that game too. I can't wait. You don't want to go to a Giants. I'll go to a Ranger game where you don't want to take me to a Giants game. Not if they're going to finally, God willing, put a contender back on the field, or hopefully. I might stay away this year and see how the season plays out, because I am so bad with the Giants. But, when you get those pictures out, make sure you highlight my my Pennywise MSG Halloween, because that's my pride and joy, that picture.
Yeah, the Joker, absolutely. Now, we're going to get off, we're going to conclude this episode. Thank you to the great Scotty B, Scotty Blander. If you want to share any social media handles so people can reach out to you, or if you are, you know, if you are pages, if you want.
No, you know, I wish I did. People have told me that I should have taken that Pennywise thing, and just real quick, and people are asking, there's on the NHL Instagram page, I was, if anybody remembers, a guy dressed up like Pennywise at the Garden the last couple of years, that was me, 62,000 likes. So people have told me I should have taken that and run with it and, you know, developed a social media presence, but I just never did. So I do not have anything really. But thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. What we will do, because we've done these type of episodes, you touched on it earlier, we haven't gotten to because we're going to get cut off. We've done episodes on, like, loyal fans, social media fan, diehard fan, bandwagon fan. We need to readdress some of these topics, and we would like to have you on that panel on, like, bandwagon fan, because I heard you say that multiple times on this episode tonight. I said, man, you know what? When we bring back those series, those type of fans, and the pros and cons of all that, loyal fans, generational fans, because, you know, we come from an era, once you lock onto a team for that particular sports, it's for life. Where this generation or the younger generation is kind of like, wishy-washy. It's more fantasy sports related. I go with the hot player. It's totally different fan, man. Some fans are old school, like, like our generation and older, but it's totally, totally different times, man. It's all about fantasy sports now. But we'll get into all that, man. We'll bring you onto those if you have the time to come on and chop it up for this, man. Scotty B, man, thank you very much, man.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure's all mine, Steve. I will be on any show you want me to.
Yes, sir. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stakeholder Spotlight with Scott Blander, Scotty B, man. Bleed Blue Show, Stakeholder Spotlight. It is good to talk this and not stress about our teams winning or losing for a change, man. It's been a minute, man. Bleed Blue.
Amen.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?